Hello.
All right, call to order the Willows Planning Commission regular meeting agenda, or meeting, for August 18th at 7 p.m. Let's rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Chair Mueller?
Here.
Vice Chair Hanson?
Here.
Commissioner Woods?
Here.
Commissioner Griffith?
Here.
Commissioner Bobadilla?
Present.
Public comments. Members of the public willing to address the commission on any item or items not on the agenda may do so at this time when recognized by the chair. However, no formal action will be taken unless a majority consensus of the commission directs staff to place an item on a future agenda. Public is advised to limit discussion to one presentation per individual. While not required, please state your name and address for the record. Oral communications will be limited to 3 minutes. Any public comment? So public comment opened at 7:01, and public comment will close at 7:01. Consent agenda. Consent items are considered to be routine by the Planning Commission and will be enacted in one motion. There will be no separate discussion on these items unless a commission member requests, in which the event the item will be removed from the consent agenda. It is recommended that the commission approve the minutes of the regular planning commission meeting held on July 21st, 2021.
I so move. I make a motion that we approve the minutes.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm not allowed to vote because I wasn't here. All opposed?
All right. An abstention.
So are we?
Oh, do I have to abstain?
You're abstaining, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I abstain. I didn't realize that I had to. Okay. Moving on.
Got to do something.
Yes. Regular business agenda, public hearings. Staff recommends commission receive the staff report, attachments, discuss, and upon conclusion, consider the adoption of the attached resolution, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Willows granting a use permit file number UP-21-04 to Farouk Zia Rara, allowing establishment of a new retail business smoke shop to be located within the existing commercial building for property located at 1241 West Wood Street, Assessor's Parcel 005-370-002. Staff.
Yes, thank you, Chair and Commissioners. This use permit before us this evening is for a new retail business.
Smoke shop.
Within the city. This is going to be located, as I said, at 1241 West Wood. It's a complex. It's got three addresses there, so this suite is addressed at the 1241, and it's in the Highway Commercial Zoning District. The request, you know, is to establish this retail store, which will be a tobacco store, selling tobacco, cigarette products, e-cigarettes, and the accessories for those products, and possibly some clothes and drinks. Then they will have to install some glass showcases, and they're going to be displaying the products on those showcases. They intend to hire a couple of employees, local hires, as they said, and are going to be open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 8, Sunday, 10 to 6, 7 days a week. So as use permit requirements is under 18.135, and then the zoning section 18.65.030, two is how this will be reviewed under. Project site is located along West Wood Street, as I said, within the Round Table building complex. This is a building that was constructed in 1987, so it's had a number of uses within these suites, so this is a new use. And the zoning is similar to west of the project, as some other zonings are surrounding it. Entryway is to the south, R1 is to the east, and R3 to the north, so there's a mix of zonings all the way around this piece of property. And they have multifamily apartments and a number of commercial uses that are within those zoning districts. As I called out, that section that would govern this 18.65.030, which is under uses permitted with a conditional use permit. Under that section, I have an incorrect one. It should be 18.60.020, which is in the staff report I see. But under the section of general highway commercial, the 18.65 section allows for it, and then it references also the 18.60020, which then also references 18.55.020, which those further references, 18.55.020, allows for general retail establishments. So that's how we get to allowing for residential, I mean, for a commercial use of this type through the use permit process. This section, as I say, does govern that and permits retail uses, which cigarette shops are considered retail businesses. Parking for that use, as stated, will be provided for the existing parking that is located on the site, and including some handicap parking. And there's sufficient parking for all the uses that are there on that piece of property. And in reviewing and looking at what is required under sale of tobacco and tobacco products, I did find that in order for a retailer to sell cigarettes and or tobacco products, they do have to get a cigarette and tobacco retailer's license from the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, and that has to be renewed annually. And then additionally, they also have to have a seller's permit to sell retail products. And in looking a little bit further into the CDTFA site, which is under the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, there was a couple new laws that are in effect. One is as of December of 2019, no tobacco products can be sold to anyone 21 years or old or younger than that. So that was recently. There's also some new requirements for signage that they have to comply with, either on the doors or within their building. And another piece of legislation that is part of this tobacco law was regulates electronic cigarettes, which are a new product, and that regulates those cigarettes to establish that an annual licensing fee on top of that for e-cigarettes is $265 per location. So there's some legislation that adds for additional license and fees requirements. And just as recently as March of this year, there is new information on the electronic nicotine delivery system, which are the electronic cigarettes, and they are required to register and file monthly with a Prevent All Cigarette Trafficking Act. So there's a reporting that has to be done, and that has additionally been required upon any businesses that do sell this type of product. There is also a bill that is going to be going as a referendum on the ballot for November 2022 that would ban retailers from selling or possessing with the intent to sell or offer sale menthol and mint flavored cigarettes and most flavored tobacco products, which are a big commodity for, I think, teenagers and stuff, which they're trying to. So there's actually going to be a referendum that's going to be on the 2022 election for people to vote on. So those are just some updates on what has.
Karen, where does that fee go to, that $250?
It goes to, more than likely it goes to the California Tobacco Control Program, which is within the Department of Public Health.
Okay, just curious.
Yes, and I looked at underneath that section also to find out what they do offer, and there are requirements, I think, of tobacco premises that, you know, as from promoting tobacco cessation, you know, they offer any things to reduce the availability of tobacco. And so I think there's really an emphasis, and a lot more so in the last year or so, on these types of products. So it's a retail use, and we can only go by with the uses that are allowed within the zone. And in this respect, it's a retail use within a commercial zone. That's a condition, just conditional type of use that they would have to go through. So, and I think in general, just that's called the California Rule 21 that I was referencing that was under that site. And when everybody knows it, about the no one under the age of 21 can purchase them. And that's, I think, the Food and Drug Administration website, and this California one does have a lot, or is attempting to get more control on the retailers of those. So with that, I guess I noted too also that during the lockdown of last year, they weren't considered an essential business. So that was one business that wasn't just allowed to stay open or considered an essential. So I mean, that was a plus, I think, in my information or my viewpoint anyway. So I did review these and did circulate for the comments and such, and those are attached in the conditions of approval that you have. This project would be considered exempt under the California Environmental Quality Act as it is under 15301, as it is existing facility, so it doesn't have to have any, won't have any further impact on the area because it's already an existing type of facility. So, and the findings that are required for conditional use permit are listed within the attached resolution for you. Notices that were sent out, as well as was in the paper, haven't received any correspondence from anybody as a result of that, so I just would recommend that the commission review this request, and if so appropriate, then we would adopt a resolution with conditions for this project. I think I've tried to cover conditions in here as far as requiring any copies of their required permits and fees that would be required of them. So with that, if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
I have a question. How many smoke shops do we currently have in?
Two.
There's two in town already.
And what's the tax, city rate for taxing on a smoke shop?
Probably standard retail rate, but I don't know. Are we wrong close to 9% here?
No, we're pretty, aren't we 7.25?
I thought 7.25, but I wouldn't say.
I think it's 7.25.
I would say it'd be the standard retail. My feeling would be it'd be the standard retail tax that would be charged on products, so then that would be what would be, I guess, coming back to the city in that respective.
I was saying, do we have any rough numbers of what the other two, we're getting back from the other two?
You know, and the other two also are in districts that allow commercial uses or allow retail uses without a use permit, so I've never had to bring them before the commission. This just happens to be in a zone that isn't calls out as permitted, so under conditional use permits, actually that section is, it, you know, as I say, leads to the other sections which do permit it as a retail use. It's not like like a liquor store where you, or liquor license where the city, and I do get those documents to find out whether or not a liquor license can be purchased and incorporated into the city again. And for instance, I did get one recently for another liquor license, but I checked that area, checked with ABC, and we're already over one or two by the concentration, so this would be the third over concentration. And I talked with city manager, and I just told them I couldn't support this public. They have to have a PCR, so they have to show that there's a public necessity for this additional one, and that is something the city has jurisdiction over. So I told them I couldn't support that, and for another one to go over that far of our limit. That's for, you know, ABC, but this agency doesn't have that oversight and kind of regulations, you know, for setbacks or concentrations and such. So I looked into that sequence.
Well, I did a little bit of research before. This is actually one of the items that come up that's probably bothered me more than any other that we have. And I've even stated out loud halfway in jest, but I've come, since being on the Planning Commission, somewhat of a yes man. And my original purpose for getting on this board was to better our community, allow more businesses to flourish here, give them all the help they can get, and to provide employment for young people so they don't get into problems. And I did an interview of the people that were working at the two smoke shops in town, and I did kind of a visual survey of their products, and I've been in those places before. And the two in our town are owned by the same person, as I'm told, or the same company, but there is very little in the way of tobacco on the shelves or tobacco products. Most of their sales, from what I can ascertain, would be what I would call the accessories. And the accessories are, I want to be euphemistic and I want to be professional, but their accessories are not for smoking tobacco. If you read the Valley Mirror and you read the Sheriff's Log, there is a concentration of the crimes that are committed in our town are related to illegal drugs. And these particular shops sell products primarily those things. And you can actually see, too, where the two that are where the two locales that are currently in this town are located. One is right across from an infamous convenience store and laundromat, where people of a certain persuasion that might want to use those products come, and the two streets for a lot of those people come, and also on the other side of town where certain people are more convenient. This particular location is next to a family restaurant. We don't have very many family restaurants in our town, and I may be beating around the bush, but I want to make sure that I'm clear. My opinion, by the Willows Municipal Code 18.135.050, in findings, which is also here in our roster here, it says that, you know, we must consider that the proposed location of use, of the use and the conditions under which it may be operated or maintained, will not be detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare, or materially injurious to properties or improvements in the vicinity. I do believe that we two of these businesses are enough, and I do believe by that finding number sub two of the Willows Municipal Code 18.135.050 that this is not a good fit for us.
I'll let somebody make more comments, then I'll make a comment about that.
No, I think I definitely agree with Mr. Hansen. I don't think it's something that we need for a lot of reasons, but I think, you know, Commissioner Hansen covers a lot of it. I don't know what more I would add. I have little issues with, it's a new business. I want to support all new business. The person that's applying for this isn't here, even here tonight. So that for me kind of just sets a wrong tone. And I don't know if there's any, is this their first location? Do they have other locations? Do we have any history?
I've never spoken to these individuals or the applicant before. I tried to get enough information as I could out of them. I emailed, you know, to get some more information. But this is the reason for a use permit, because they're discretionary. And you are only entitled to something when the commission and the city feels that it's in the best interest. And the first use, the first finding that has to be made, as Commissioner Hansen called out, is that the feeling of it being detrimental to the safety and welfare of properties are in the vicinity of the location. The fact that he's brought up about the surrounding neighborhood and could very well be a finding that could substantiate a reason for denial. What I guess, in not speaking to city attorney about this situation, I tried to see within the state laws I had latitude, but in this determination, I think it would either be a determination of the council or the commission could go for and set a denial for this, or table it, and I could get determination from.
I also agree. I think it's a very poor location
from the attorney, you know, city attorney. So,
yeah, when I first saw this, my first thought was definitely round table, and was concerned about what their thoughts. Obviously, you know, they had the opportunity to have their input.
I had no comment.
So,
But then again, Roundtable might not know about it, other than me going by it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, did they talk to Roundtable? Did they talk to the business O'Reilly's? Did they talk to the families behind where there's low income? And did they talk to Walden, which is within a half a block vicinity?
No, see what happens when we send out to the property owners.
Okay.
The property owners aren't the apartment complex, the property owners aren't a trial table, and the property owners aren't O'Reilly's. The property is owned by someone out of the area, and they were the ones who the notices went to. I did inform, I was taking some pictures, and I did inform an employee at Roundtable what was going to be the proposed new, and her eyes actually opened up, and she said, isn't there a couple already in town? So that was her comment.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the thing that we have to be really careful of is that, as the Planning Commission, it's not really our job to in most instances, it's like whether, when we get this application in, it's like, have they met the requirements? It's like, have they got their I's dotted, their T's crossed, and thus and such for when it goes into an area where it's already zoned. In a situation like this, the thing that we have to be very clear on is we have to be strong in our findings. We have to be very clear, and we have to have something to stand on. We can't just arbitrarily say, geez, you know, we've got two or three of those. We don't need another one. That's not our role. But so I just, moving forward, we just need to be very clear. So I don't know.
So if I'll be honest, this is brand new territory for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like Mr. Hansen mentioned, you know, I want to be a yes person. You know, that's the goal, is to move these things
get
through.
Yes.
But is there a way that we can assess this a little closer just to make sure that it is in the public's best interest according to these codes that we're referencing? I mean, I don't know that we have enough information. If it sounds like the schools aren't fully aware of the situation, and that we haven't talked to the neighbors, and we haven't talked to the low-income housing that's next door, like, do we need to just take a little more time and assess
that's
those two? I feel like that might be a better approach than, because at some point it can be subjective, but I think we need to make it more objective and have some data and some.
I agree that, you know, that's in your purview. The commission, that's why we're reviewing it here, and that's why findings to me are very important, that is understood when you're making this finding. Yes, you know, okay, there's a location, it's available. Yes, you know, there's parking available. Yes, that. But that statement of, is it detrimental to the public health and safety?
Well, and the fact that it is close to a school.
And it's close to an apartment.
And
complex.
I hadn't even thought about the apartment complex.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to do business. I'm not opposed to another spoke shop. I mean, that's fine if it meets the limits as far as the state's concerned for our. I'm just concerned about the location. That is my biggest problem.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not, the use was one thing, but it's the location. And that, as I say, that is one of the, that they say is maintained will not be detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare to properties as the location is in, you know, that's what the finding you have to make. I stated that it's an existing commercial building, which it is, and any improvements are subject to the codes, and any adoptions of any approvals will be able to provide that public health and safety if adopted. It doesn't go into that, I think, more expanded type of, well, there's nothing around it, so it's okay, it's in a shopping mall. So I think that detrimental situation, you could maybe require that I get more input from not property owners, but users. Of
right, the people that it's going to impact.
Yeah.
Of the adjacent properties. The other thing I thought of was maybe even to see what, as far as police reports.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, can we get a sheriff's log?
Yeah.
To
see.
And then, like, just like a half a block down is public health.
Yeah.
And then the tobacco program is right there.
Yeah. It's location.
Yeah, I think
it's location.
It's
really,
definitely location.
You know, as I say, I didn't have any purview over the other ones because of their location.
That's what I'm saying. It's like
zoning,
sometimes you don't have an option. It meets the criteria.
Permitted uses.
Right.
So when it's permitted use, and if it's existing and says
it wouldn't have come before us. Come before us because it's conditional.
Right. Yes. So
I move we table this too.
I think that might be the wiser thing to do right now.
Well, we can either continue.
Yeah,
continue
table
the
it.
Meeting, or we can go for it, knowing that it can be appealed. They can take it to the city council and appeal our decision, and then we would be out of it. So I would think we would want to table it.
Yeah, I definitely
more information.
Yeah.
So I'll look at police reports maybe for the last year. And possibly communication with adjacent property users.
Users,
not
users.
Owners.
Users.
There's not only the apartment complex, but as I say,
Walden School, Walden School.
Walden Schools, you know, close by.
There is a residence right there, too.
So.
I would think ARCO would be against it since they sell tobacco.
Yeah, but that's a different.
They would want a smoke shop there.
Yeah.
We just want to be strong. If we're not feeling good about it, then we need to know why.
Yeah.
And we need to be very confident in that approach.
Yep.
Sounds good.
I can appreciate that. So I'll, I think maybe have to go through maybe a motion to.
Do we need to open for a public hearing?
Yes, that probably would be a good idea as well. I apologize.
So we'll open the public hearing at 7:26. We have now come to the public input portion of the meeting. This public hearing is being recorded and is subject to possible review by the courts. Therefore, all statements or remarks must be made clearly and distinctly into the microphone. If there is anyone in the audience who has pertinent evidence or opinions or statements relevant to issues being heard, please step up to the microphone. And although it is not required, it is also requested that you please state and spell your name for the record. Comments are generally limited to 3 minutes. Any public comment? Nope. No public comment, so that will close public comment at 7:27.
I move we table it.
Second.
Who seconded?
Second.
Pedro. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
All right. We'll look into that.
Okay, so Karen, will this come back at our next meeting since our next meeting is so early?
I don't know.
Do we have to notice it again?
That could very well be. That would have to, so I'll have to find that out first. I'll find that out tomorrow. And if it has to be, then I would have till next week to notice it.
Okay. I just want to not put you.
No, if it would be that it has to be noticed, and I could, I mean, the police reports, I don't think there'd be any issue trying to get. Might just be the communication, trying to get communication with the other.
How are we going to do that?
What I was thinking in my mind is I would call the apartment manager and speak to the apartment manager, number one, would be what I was going to do. And then maybe call Walden School, you know, call the individuals.
Okay.
You can call Walden School right now if you like.
And you know, in that way, I can make a note. You know, or personal conversation. I had this date with this person and such. I don't know any emails or such so at this point. And I do probably have somebody for Walden School, but I think at this point that might be the quickest way. If I find out that I have to have a use, if I have to put a notice in the paper, and it looks like it could hit September 8th, then I will, you know, put it on there and move forward with that. I'll let you know. But I think police gave police reports and stuff. That shouldn't be. Take too long.
So are you affiliated with Walden School?
Yes, I am. So.
Okay, so then you don't want to have any input into this. Okay?
Yeah.
So don't call
them. Yeah.
No.
You can call Ms. Tess.
Suzanne Tess.
Suzanne.
Yes. Okay. Does that sound like a good plan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Brett, so I was just concerned. I didn't want to put you in a situation.
We are for time. It's going to be tough for you. You have to really hit the pavement with this. But September 8th meeting is going to be in lieu of the normal meeting, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I was going to kind of just let you know that the next meeting is going to be a special meeting. It's going to be on September 8th, and as a result, I'm not going to be here for the third Wednesday. So I appreciate that you could move this up. I have two projects to hear. One is a use permit and design review, and the other one's design review. So. It'll be two good projects here. And then the next meeting after that in October, just kind of give you a heads up, will be the October 20th meeting. And that's when we'll be hearing the housing element update. We're hopeful that they'll have all the comments back from the state by then. And then from there, that that housing update will go to the city council in November, early November. At that meeting also in October, I'll probably have a couple other items. I know I'll have it's going to be a one lot rezone, so in order to comply with the neighboring lot, so that might be an item I'll have on that agenda, and possibly a text.
There could be a whole new business coming in.
Yeah, that's existing. And I might have some text amendments come that meeting too. And then, so those are the next couple meetings here, and all know about the Rumiano ribbon cutting that was held on August 6th, and that's for the shell is complete, and now they're working on the inside and getting all the interior machines and everything in there.
Quite a building.
It is quite a building. I toured it midway, kind of halfway, two-thirds way through, and I felt like this big in there.
We walked the length of the storage room, about froze our buns off.
Yeah, well, this was before they had all that cooler in there and stuff, but yeah.
It's working.
It was huge. Yeah.
It's working, too.
Yeah, oh, good. So, yeah, that'll be...
They serve farmer's beer back there.
Oh, yeah.
Local product.
Cold enough for that, right?
Well, that was outside of that, but...
Do we know who acquired the old Daughtry building?
I didn't know anybody acquired it.
It's off the market, so... My understanding it was acquired. I just haven't figured out the source.
And I've had interest off and on, but I haven't heard anything.
And you haven't had any communication with the new owners of the old flower shop chamber building?
No.
From Davis?
No.
It's supposed to be a new building.
Yeah, it's a family that owns a Red 88 Noodle House in Davis.
Oh, well, maybe I have. Did they buy it? I talked to somebody a couple months ago from Davis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they actually live in, I believe they live in Woodland, and
yes.
They own
their... Okay. I haven't heard anything back from her, but they came in and we talked to them.
Last I heard it was in escrow, but that, it could have...
Yeah,
out.
I've seen them come and go from the property quite a bit because we're just around the corner.
Yeah, I think they were looking to is that a two-suite building? I think they were looking to just look at one suite. They probably looked at the whole building then. Because when I've talked to them, they were looking at just suite on the east end.
Okay.
So, yeah, well, that's good. They were real interested in this area, and
yeah.
They have a couple restaurants, I think, already.
Yep.
So this will be another inclusion,
more stuff downtown.
Another
yep.
Restaurant. Yeah, so. Yeah, I, that's
where's
good.
That at?
It's good to hear.
The old chamber building?
The
flower shop?
Yeah.
The chamber building, and the flower shop that was next to it, yeah, so. That's good. I'm glad to hear that they...
Somebody bought the Daughtry, that white elephant?
Yeah, my understanding it was, I know it's off the market, and what I've heard, I just didn't have, wanted to know if anybody knew.
I haven't talked to
anybody. I haven't really dug at all, but yeah. I just heard it had been taken off the market.
Oh, okay.
I saw some people in there probably 2 months ago. They were, it was just like three guys, and they were going through it, and I said something, you know, hey, you know.
Yeah.
And they said, well, it's looking that way. But then they said, good.
Yeah.
Do something.
Well, reuse of buildings is a good thing. And I think as was talked about today, you know, along that Wood Street, along Tehama side, there are some nice buildings there that put effort in somebody in there. You could revitalize that area again. So it's a process, a plan, and to have a guiding post such as this, the general plan, which is helps us to see where we want to have the future, why we want to have this, we want to have it. It's going to be a good blueprint for our city to build upon and for developers to be able to use for our tools.
Yep.
So I'm very glad to be part of getting this.
Yeah, having our guidelines, having, you know, I like the idea about the entryway, trees and whatever, I can't remember. Landscaping.
Yes.
Duh. Hard word. I thought that was a good plan, too.
Planning
it just gives us really good tools.
Planning for the future, you know, on that. So that's about all I have as far as what's coming up in the future here in our couple of meetings and everything, but we'll convene back again on the 8th of September.
Jack in the Box still moving forward?
Oh, yeah, they just they have some documents. They have a lot harder to do. They have.
When do they anticipate breaking ground?
I haven't heard
ground.
Anything.
Have
you, Maria? Anything?
I have not heard anything.
No. They can't. Well, they have to have a lot harder done before we can issue a building.
Okay. I just didn't know where they were at in the process.
Yeah, so I'm sure I'll be hearing something pretty soon. Okay. From them.
I hear people are saying that the marijuana place, that we give them a run around down there.
They're what?
The dispensary.
Huh?
The dispensary?
No, they're, supposed to be. People said they were giving us a runaround on it. No.
You know, they're going through. They've got all their processes here, and now they have to go. And they're going through their state licensing process.
Oh,
so
that is, okay.
That's
it's dealing with the state.
That's. I mean, I checked with the state today, and they said they're almost at the end of phase one, going into phase two of the review. So they confirmed, you know, that they're moving forward, but the state, you have, I think from the time you submit an application, it's probably 9 months before you hear if you've got everything right.
Yeah, that's.
And that was probably only maybe about 3 months ago or 3 or 4 months ago that they submitted for it. So it's in the hopper.
Unless you've gone through the process of opening a business in this state, you don't realize how difficult the state makes it. It's not the city, it's the state. The state is, creates the barriers.
They're through all of our requirements. They have all of their approvals. And as I say, I checked with the state and just got an answer back today. And they said, yeah, they're almost at the end of their phase, their one stage going into the stage two. So that's what tells me that, you know, they're still in the works. And I know that process is.
Cumbersome.
Oh, yeah.
So I fully believe that it's all going to come about, but you know, they have a use permit. It's good for the year, and we're going with that. As you know, you can plan for it, but then things come up in the way that you have to, the hurdles that you have to get over to get to your final golden ticket.
You didn't really experience any of those, did
you? I'm sure this is a whole different level, but I know I have businesses in 5 other counties, and this is one of the easiest counties to open a business. I mean, some of them, in Santa Cruz, if you're dealing with the Coastal Commission, that's a whole, you know, not only do you have to go through your normal process, but now you got to deal with the Coastal Commission. And so,
put it in the park.
And yeah, you got to wait 3 to 6 months just to get an appointment. Uh-huh. You know, you're not just walking in the door and talking to someone.
I try to tell applicants that, I take your application in August and I got you on agenda in September. Better be.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not always doable in other jurisdictions.
No.
Question. I don't need to have it sitting around my desk. I have enough other paperwork. So if I can get it in and get it out, I'll move it.
Where are we on the, have we had any follow-up on the new apartment complex?
New apartment complex?
South of town on Old 99. You know, the place with all gravel.
Oh, with the meeting the conditions?
Yes.
We had a conversation for the Tehama property that updated their use permit for.
Changed it from a motel.
From a long term to a motel.
You're talking about North Tehama or South Tehama?
It's North.
Yes. Mr. Peabody is working with the applicant on meeting conditions and requirements. And I got an update yesterday that's in process and things are moving along.
Yeah.
So I think he's met with the city engineer about putting in that sidewalk and everything else. So he's making the moves towards getting some compliance in the areas that we spoke about and conditioned him for.
Excellent.
So yeah,
I just got that update here this week.
Good.
All right, anything else?
Not that I have on my list here.
All right.
How about great grandpa? You got anything to say?
Oh, I have a great granddaughter.
Congratulations.
Maggie McGee.
Well, that's on record now.
Margaret.
Margaret.
That was a. She pooped at a womb, and so that happened in ICU for a while. They worry about inhaling that stuff. So. But she's home now. She's
good.
She's healthy. She was 8 pounds up and 19 inches.
That's good.
But my son called up. He says, I'm in love with another woman. And I love her more than I love my children.
I know. It's grandchildren do that to you.
I told him. I tell people, you know, grandchildren are a gift for not killing your children.
There you go. All right, with that, we're going to adjourn this one at 7:40.
Pictures.